Chapter 17. Don Michael. It would have been a perfect time for Michael Corleone, except for one thing: the fury and grief of his sister Connie. She had flown home with her mother, the children left in Vegas. She had kept control of her widow's grief until the car pulled into the mall. Then she ran across the street into Michael Corleone's house to find him and Kay in the living room. Kay got up to go to her, but stopped when Connie started shouting,
"You bastard! You killed my husband! You waited until our father died, and nobody could stop you, and you killed him! You killed him! You blamed him for Sonny's death, you always did! Everyone did! But you never thought about me! You never cared about me! What am I going to do now?"
By now, she was screaming. Two of Michael's bodyguards stood behind her and were waiting for orders. But he just stood there quietly and waited for his sister to finish. Kay said in a shocked voice,
"Connie, you're upset. Don't say such things."
Connie turned to Kay.
"Why do you think he kept Carlo here on the mall? All the time he knew he was going to kill my husband, but he wouldn't do it while my father was alive. My father would have stopped him. Do you think you know your husband? Do you know how many men he had killed at the same time as my Carlo? Just read the papers. Barzini and D'Italia and the others. My brother had them all killed."
Connie had completely lost control now. She went to hit Michael, but the bodyguards held her back. "Get her home and get her a doctor," Michael said. The two guards pulled Connie from the house. Kay was still shocked. She turned to her husband.
"What made her say all those things, Michael? What made her believe that?"
Michael sighed. "She's gone a bit crazy." Kay looked into his eyes.
"Michael, it's not true. Please say it's not true."
Michael shook his head tiredly. "Of course it's not. Just believe me. This one time I'm letting you ask about my business, and I'm giving you an answer. It is not true." She had never believed him more. He looked into her eyes, and she knew he was using all the trust they had built up in their married life to make her believe him. And she could not doubt any longer. She smiled at him and came into his arms for a kiss.
"We both need a drink," she said.
She went into the kitchen for ice, and while she was there, heard the front door open. She came out of the kitchen and saw Clemenza, Neri, and Rocco Lampone come in with the bodyguards. At that moment, Clemenza bowed his head and said,
"Don Michael."
Kay could see how Michael stood to receive the formal greeting. He reminded her of statues in Rome, those great leaders who held the power of life and death over other men. One hand was on his thigh, and his face showed a cold, proud power. The Capo regime stood before him. In that moment, Kay knew everything Connie had accused Michael of was true. She went back into the kitchen and cried. The bloody victory of the Corleone family was not complete until a year of political discussion established Michael Corleone as the most powerful family leader in the United States. For 12 months, he divided his time between the house at Long Beach and his new home in Las Vegas. At the end of that year, he started to close the New York operation and sell the houses and the mall property. For this purpose, he brought his whole family east for a last visit. They would stay a month to close business. Kay would take care of the family packing and shipping of furniture. There were a million other small details to sort out. Clemenza now had his own family. Rocco Lempone was the new Corleone capo regime. In Nevada, Albert Neri was responsible for security for the family-controlled hotels. Hagen was a lawyer for Michael's Western family. Time helped the wounds to recover. Connie Corleone was no longer angry with Michael. She told Kay there had been no truth in her words, that it had only been a young widow's grief. Connie had easily found a new husband, a man who worked for the Corleone family as a secretary. He was a fine young Italian man who had studied at the top business college in America. He had a great future ahead of him working for the family. Kay Corleone had pleased her mother-in-law by joining the Catholic religion. Her two boys were being brought up in that church. But Michael had not been happy about this. He had wanted the boys to be Protestant because it was more American. Kay was surprised to find she loved living in Nevada. She loved the burning deserts and the hills and red rocks, the lovely cool lakes, and even the heat. Her two boys had horses. She had real servants, not bodyguards. And Michael lived a normal life. He had a legitimate building business. He joined businessmen's clubs. He was interested in local politics. It was a good life. On that final day at the old house, Kay Adams Corleone woke early. She could hear the trucks outside on the mall, the trucks that would empty all the houses of furniture. The Corleone family, including Mrs. Corleone, would be flying back to Las Vegas in the afternoon. When Kay came out of the bathroom, Michael was sitting up in bed smoking a cigarette. "Why do you have to go to church every morning?" he asked. "I don't mind Sundays, but why during the week? You're as bad as my mother."
"You know how us new Catholics are. We take it more seriously," Kay said, sitting on the bed next to him and putting on her skirt.
She felt him studying her with what she called his Don's eye. She had left him because of that lie he had told, not because of what he had done. The next morning, she had taken the children away with her to her parents' house in New Hampshire. Michael had immediately understood. He had called her the first day and then left her alone. 1 week later, Tom Hagen had come to visit her, and they spent a terrible afternoon together. At first, she was horrible to him.
"Did Mike send you here to warn me?" she asked. "Have you got a gun?"
For the first time since she had known him, she saw Hagen angry.
"Don't be so childish," he said. "I expected more than that from a woman like you, Kay."
"All right," she said.
They walked together along the green country road. Hagen said quietly,
"Why did you run away?"
"Because Michael lied to me. Because he made a fool of me. I can't love a man like that. I can't live with it."
"I don't know what you're talking about," Hagen said. She was furious now.
"I mean that he killed his sister's husband. Do you understand that?"
They walked on in silence. Finally, Hagen said,
"You have no real way of knowing what's true. But if it is true, then think about this. What if Carlo was responsible for Sonny being killed? What if he beat Connie, knowing that Sonny would leave the mall to help her? What if Carlo had been paid to help get Sonny killed?"
Kay did not answer, so Hagen went on.
And what if the Don, a great man, couldn't make himself do what he had to do, take revenge for his son's death by killing his daughter's husband? What if he retired knowing that Michael would take that weight off of his shoulders? That guilt. Kay said,
"Michael's not the man I married."
Hagen laughed. "If he were, he'd be dead now. You'd be a widow."
He shook his head.
"You're mad because he lied to you. Well, he warned you never to ask him about business. I'm going to tell you something. After the Don died, Mike was set up to be killed. You know who set him up? Tessio. So Tessio had to be killed. Carlo had to be killed. Michael really liked Tessio. He loves his sister. But he had to protect his family, his whole family, and me and my family. If he let Tessio and Carlo go free, they would have been a danger to us all our lives."
Kay had been listening to this with tears running down her face.
"Is that why Michael sent you up here? To tell me this?"
Hagen looked at her in surprise.
"No," he said. "He told me to tell you that you could have everything you want and do everything you want as long as you take good care of the kids."
Hagen smiled.
"He said to tell you that you're his Don. That's just a joke."
Kay put her hand on Hagen's arm.
"He didn't order you to tell me all the other things?"
Hagen paused.
"You still don't understand," he said finally. "If you told Michael what I've told you today, I'm a dead man. You and the children are the only people on this earth he couldn't harm."
Kay asked Hagen to drive her and the children back to the mall that day. A week after Kay returned to Michael, she decided to become a Catholic. Now, as she sat in the church and listened to its huge bell ringing, she touched her chest lightly with her loose fist, as she had been taught to do. The bell rang again, and Kay let her head fall. She emptied her mind of herself, her children, of all anger and all questions. Then, as she had done every day since the murder of Carlo Rizzi, she prayed for the soul of Michael Corleone. Penguin Readers, The Godfather, Mario Puzo, Level 7, retold by Anna Truin, series editor Sorrel Pitts, read by Christopher Ragland. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2022.